Welcome to Tales of Tucson,
a series of original radio dramas inspired by the legends, mysteries, and histories of the Sonoran Southwest.
Episodes take place in real locations around Southern Arizona. We're blending the real and the fictional.
Tales of Tucson is co-written and co-produced by
Laura Markowitz
and John Vornholt.
And now for Episode 8, Air and Space.
Howdy, everyone. Welcome back to Tales of Tucson. Say, have you ever been down to the Pima Air and Space Museum? They've got row after row of vintage and unique aircraft. People from around the world donate their historic aircraft so that folks like you can take a tour and learn about our grand tradition of aviation. The Pima Air and Space Museum is a Tucson landmark, or maybe I should say, airmark. You know, it's amazing how far news about the place travels. It attracts visitors from all over.
Hey, Lisa, are we having fun or what?
Dad, this is excessive punishment, even for you. I only sent one little text, and I was fully stopped at a red light, so technically, I wasn't texting while driving.
You aren't being punished, Lisa. We're having quality father-daughter time at one of my favorite Tucson attractions, the Pima Air and Space Museum. Isn't this great? Look, helicopters.
Oh, joy.
Now, where is that main hangar?
Excuse me? Are you two looking for the tour? There's Marcia over there, gathering everyone up inside the gift shop.
Oh, thanks. Are you one of the docents here?
Yep, that's me. Started off as a volunteer and hung around so long, I'm like one of the exhibits.
So do you get to fly the planes?
Oh, I'd like that. No, I just help folks like you find their way around, and then I help lock up at the end of the day.
Oh, wow. It must be fun to work here around all these planes.
Oh, yeah. There's a story behind each one of them. And we, the docents and guides, know them all.
Oh, I hit my head on that airplane wing.
You're like a disaster waiting to happen. I have 911 on speed dial.
I'm not that bad.
We had to call an ambulance for you when you took me to the Titan Missile Museum.
Oh, that whole day is kind of hazy.
Probably from the concussion.
I'm just vertically challenged.
Plus, you have clown feet, Dad. You know we call you Sir Klutz-a-lock behind your back.
Funny.
Dad, they're leaving without us.
You better run and catch up. Marcia knows her stuff. She'll take good care of you.
Welcome to the third largest air and space museum in the United States. We've got about 340 airplanes on almost 80 acres here.
Wow, that's cool.
She really knows her stuff.
What we're going to do in the next 40 to 45 minutes is highlight about 12 to 15 airplanes in this hangar, half of them unique civilian, half of them military aircraft important in winning the Cold War. We're going to concentrate on how engineers designed and thrust and lift.
This is surprisingly interesting.
The big white plane, the PBY 5A Consolidated Catalina.
Right, those are cool, yeah.
Yeah, they're cool, yeah. That's the one where they rescued sailors from the cruiser Indianapolis when it sank, the 56 sailors, and so you can't fit 56 people inside that plane. It's a big plane, so they had to use parachute cord to tie them to the wings so the sharks didn't get at them, yeah.
Will you show me how to make paper airplanes later?
I've been waiting for you to ask that since the day you were born.
I came in service in 1974. Women were not allowed to fly. I was in the Air Force for 30 years, started out enlisted aircraft maintenance, officer aircraft maintenance. Kind of the last 10 years, I taught at three different schools in the Air Force, so.
So there, are there planes around here you, I mean, not literally worked on, but kinds of
there's
planes?
There's a couple, but not many. There's an A-7 and an F-15.
So, women weren't just stewardesses. Good to know.
Probably early 80s is when they allowed women to fly tankers and cargo. Finally, in the 90s, they got to fly fighters.
And Amelia Earhart's been in the news again.
That's the next plane we're going to talk about.
Did you see that plane with the pink slippers?
Darn it!
Watch your head, Dad. You have to duck under the wings.
Thanks for the tip. I was busy looking at that plane shaped like a bumblebee.
Okay, there's your tram right there.
Hurry up, Lisa. The tram tour is about to leave, and it's the last one of the day.
We are about ready to go here. A couple things. We've got about 160 airplanes parked outside, of course, the 4,000 across the street. And the reason for that, obviously, is partly the climate here. It doesn't lend itself to corroding a lot of airplanes. Secondly, this ground is very hard. It's called caliche, and it's a mixture of sand and clay, minerals, and it's about as hard as concrete. So we can park airplanes out here for years without having to build a concrete pad under them, and they don't sink into the ground even during the monsoon season. Which leads to safety. If during the tour your hat blows off or you drop something, please do not try to get off of the tram while it's moving. You'll probably fall on the caliche, get hurt, have to go to the hospital, and it'll be a black mark on my permanent record. So we don't want that.
Maybe they have a medevac chopper here at the Pima Air and Space Museum. You'll probably need it later.
My loving daughter. Thanks a lot.
Whoa! Check out that psychedelic plane. Trippy.
Oh, and they have an old Air Force One out here somewhere.
We are the third largest aviation museum in the country after the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C., and the Air Force Museum at the Wright-Patterson Air Force Base outside of Dayton, Ohio. Big difference between those museums and this one is that we get no public funding. None of your tax dollars help support this. It's all run by donations.
I think if we ever get an airplane, we should totally donate it to the Pima Air and Space Museum.
Talk to your mother. You know, I wanted to take flying lessons for years. Can't you see me buzzing around in a little paper cub? You'd go flying with me, right, Lisa?
Me? Not a chance. Walking with you is dangerous enough.
So behind you, our other facility here is the Dorothy Finley Space Gallery. It's got everything associated with space travel and astronauts. And it's got a lunar lander simulator, as well as a real piece of moon rock, which is insured for $3 million.
Do we have time to check out the space gallery before the museum closes?
Hold the phone. Take a picture of this moment. My daughter wants to see more at the Pima Air and Space Museum.
Well, yeah, actually, a selfie with a moon rock would be kind of cool to post on Snapchat.
Darn it! The tram is taking us in the wrong direction, and by the time we get back, they'll be closing up.
Can't we ditch the tram and go on our own?
Ditch the tram?
To see a moon rock.
Well...
Come on, Dad. Live a little.
Oh, why not? If we hop off the tram the next time it slows down, we can run over to the space gallery and be back before they lock the gates.
I had no idea you could be so much fun.
Thanks a lot. Ready?
Let's do it. Oh! Wasn't the space gallery over that way?
Darn it. I lost the map.
As usual.
Well, it doesn't matter. I've been here 1,000 times. It's this way.
I thought it was that way.
See the big cargo planes? The tram to the left there.
But we saw the space gallery early in the tram tour, so we were coming from that way.
Trust me, Lisa. Your old dad's sense of direction is never wrong.
Only on opposite day.
Darn it. We're lost.
Well, that was useless. We walked in circles and kept seeing the same cargo planes. Ugh. Let's bail. I'm hungry.
Oh, a lot of those planes look alike.
Ooh, look. There's the exit. Oh, let's go to the Triple T truck stop and eat chili.
Not until we see the space gallery. We need to get full value for those tour tickets.
Not the full value thing again.
Oh, look. Look at that building over there. I'm sure that's it. There's a guy with a walker, and he's moving slow. So we'll just dash over and take a quick look at the moon rock. Come on.
Okay, I'm coming. Slow down!
Walt?
Yeah, Ronnie?
We have stragglers over in space. Can you show them the door?
Roger that. I'll round them up. Walt out. Should I give him a little scare?
See, we made it. Lisa, behold the moon rock.
That's it? It's not much to look at. Rock-colored. Chunky. Kind of a disappointment, actually. I thought it'd be sparkly or have a green glow.
Or look like cheese.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That rock there is worth more than a chunk of gold. No human ever traveled farther to collect a rock.
Say, Dad, do you believe aliens are out there?
Do I believe aliens are out there? Well, according to my all-time favorite show, The X-Files, the truth is out there. Anyone we know could be an alien in disguise. Lisa?
Well, that would explain a lot about Aunt Celia.
Yeah, she never takes off that scarf.
Never.
Hey, who turned out the lights?
Maybe it was aliens.
They want their rock back.
What if we get locked in here overnight?
We'll call your mother.
That's a conversation I look forward to hearing.
Darn it!
Be careful!
I hit my head on the handrail.
Just stop moving. Oh, I hear something.
Who's that? Who's there?
A space alien. Let there be light.
Ah, it's the docent playing a trick on us.
I couldn't resist. I love a good practical joke. But you folks shouldn't be in here now. We're trying to close up. I'm sorry if I scared you.
It would have been cool if you were really an alien.
Oh, so you believe in extraterrestrial life?
Kind of. What do you think?
Well, I used to think that they were real, but no one ever believed me, and so I guess I was just fooling myself.
About what?
I was in Korea during the war. I flew F-80s until I got shot down. I should have died, but, well, it's a long story, and it used to be classified.
We want to hear it, don't we, Dad?
Classified? You bet we do.
Well, the night that I got shot down, right before it happened, I saw something strange fly over me.
A flying saucer?
No, not like that in the movies. It was long. Looked like a hot dog.
A flying hot dog.
Well, maybe twice the size of a 747. Dull gray color. I thought I was hallucinating. The strange thing was, I even smelled hot dogs.
Whoa. That's weird.
I'll say.
I was so distracted, I let a MiG torch my tail. I was diving fast, and the ejection seat was stuck. I was pulling on the release lever with everything that I had, but I knew this was it. I was going to die. But suddenly, a beam of purple light shot out of the side of the spaceship, and I stopped falling.
Whoa.
That must have been their tractor beam.
Whatever it was, it saved my life. My plane drifted down to the ground like a feather. And as soon as I was safely back on the Earth, the light disappeared, and so did the spaceship.
Oh, that's amazing.
Did you get a picture?
No, I had no proof. When I gave my report, I told them exactly what happened. Command wanted to put me in a loony bin, but they couldn't explain how my plane was safely on the ground with no engine and a stuck eject release. They didn't know what to do with me. So they ordered me never to speak of it, and then they grounded me in case I was touched in the head.
That's so unfair.
Well, I left the Air Force with an honorable discharge 6 months later, went to work in my dad's plumbing business, and I tried to forget about it.
I don't think I'd be able to forget about something like that. I mean, you have actual first-hand knowledge that something else is out there.
But no one believes me.
That's really sad.
Even my wife. She called me a dreamer.
Well, I believe you.
So do I. So do I. Space aliens. I knew it.
Wow. You never saw it again?
I haven't told this to anyone. And maybe I am a dreamer. But sometimes when I look up into the night sky, I think I can see it for a split second, like it's showing itself to me.
Maybe it wants you to know it's still there, still looking out for you.
Well, that's what I think. Like a guardian angel.
A guardian alien. You're so lucky. Darn it, I wish I had one.
Well, I wish I could tell it thank you. Not just for saving my life. It changed my life.
How?
Well, knowing that we're not alone, that something else besides us is out there in the universe. That gives me a certain perspective on life. We live among wonders and mysteries that we can't comprehend. Life is a marvel. When I think this way, it helps me to stop sweating the small stuff.
That's what I'm always telling my daughter.
What the heck?
It sounds like we're under attack.
Did a jet from Davis Monthan just crash into the Pima Air and Space Museum?
And the lights are out again. Ah, you already pulled that gag.
It's not me.
Look out the window. There's something happening. It's like a gigantic shadow is just sitting on top of us.
I gotta see this.
I'm right behind you.
Dad, wait for me.
You've been listening to Tales of Tucson on KXCI 91.3 FM. Tales of Tucson is co-written and co-produced by Laura Markowitz and John Vornholt, and features the voices of local actors and community members. And now, to continue with Episode 8, Air and Space.
Holy moly!
Oh my God! It's shaped like a hot dog! It must be your spaceship!
You can see it?
Of course we can see it! This is the greatest day of my life!
It's like they could hear us talking about them. Or it.
Lisa, we don't know if their intentions are friendly or hostile. Maybe we should go back into the building.
Dad, aren't you the one who's always up for adventure?
Adventure, but not abduction. Your mother would kill me.
It's real. You can see it too. Oh my God.
Where's my phone? I'm gonna tweet a video. Oh, my phone is dead.
So's mine. Darn it. We finally have real proof of alien existence, and we can't take a picture. Oh, I should carry around my old Kodak Instamatic for opportunities like this.
What is that smell? Apple pie? It is! Apple pie with cinnamon.
This isn't possible. We're hallucinating.
You smell it too?
Oh, yes. It reminds me of my mother's pie. She made it every Halloween with the apples from our tree. Best smell in the world.
Wait, didn't you say you smelled hot dog when you crashed?
That's right. At least I thought I did. But everything happened so fast.
I have a theory. What if the spacelings are trying to communicate with us through smell?
Apple pie always makes me happy. Maybe they want us to know they have friendly intentions.
Yes.
Maybe, but it could be just a coincidence.
No, it's not. I'm sure of it. Dogs communicate through smell. So do bees and ants and bears.
Bears? What do they teach you kids these days? Do you smell that? Corn, beef, and cabbage. My mom made that every year for my birthday. I haven't thought of that in years.
I do smell it.
And oh, I smell Grandma's gingerbread. Christmas morning. All the presents waiting for me under the tree.
Walt, are you okay? You look dizzy.
Dad, the spacelings are trying to communicate a message to him. Halloween, his birthday, and Christmas? What do those days have in common?
It's elementary, my dear Lisa. Those are all days when kids get presents.
I don't understand. What are they trying to tell me?
Yes, it makes perfect sense. This is the Pima Air and Space Museum. Remember how that tram driver said people donate aircrafts to the museum? I'll bet the spacelings want to donate their spaceship.
Oh, wow. Wait, you're saying the UFO is a donation?
Oh, I smell my wife's perfume on our wedding day. Oh, Lorraine, I miss you so much. You were the best gift of my life.
But the government will never let the Pima Air and Space Museum keep it. They'll take it apart for the technology and cover the whole thing up. Well, we'll probably have our memories wiped. I've seen Roswell and Men in Black.
Whoa, look at that purple light.
The ship. It's changing shape.
Well, it doesn't look like a giant Oscar Mayer Wienermobile anymore.
Yeah, now it looks like a cheesy Hollywood spaceship from the 1950s.
I had a scale model of one just like that as a boy. We come in peace. Take me to your leader.
But why would they change their ship into this fake-looking one?
You just said why. They don't want the government taking it away. They want it to stay here at the museum.
The best way to hide a thing is in plain sight.
Oh, so that means they can hear and understand us.
Oh, another smell. What is it? Yes. Yes, I understand. They want me to go with them.
Wait, I'm confused. Their ship isn't going anywhere. They just parked it here and turned it into a corny old version of itself.
Guys, if the ship is staying here, that means whoever is flying it will be staying here too, right?
No, it's telling me. This ship isn't alone. There's another one waiting to take the pilot away, and I'm invited to go with them. They're gonna leave this old one here for the Pima Air and Space Museum. It's out of service, just like the rest of the exhibits.
Mister, you just can't get on a spaceship and fly away. That's crazy.
Why not? My wife is dead. My kids will be fine without me. I haven't got many years left. This will be my last great adventure. I'm going.
Oh, wait, don't they want me to come too? I know a lot about space. I've watched every episode of Star Trek 3 times.
Hey, you're always telling me not to accept rides with strangers.
But Lisa, this is an incredible opportunity.
Son, it is not your time. Your daughter needs you.
That smells like funnel cakes. Oh, that reminds me of our annual outing to the Pima County Fair. I guess I would miss that.
Yeah, me too. Don't go, Dad.
I guess I'll stay.
Good, because what would I tell Mom?
You folks had better go now. They're ready for me. If anyone wonders where I am, you tell them Walt Evans went exploring and don't expect him back anytime soon.
He just disappeared.
Lisa, people are headed this way. Stick to the shadows and don't let them see us. And don't talk about this.
Say nothing?
No one will believe us.
But the truth is out there.
I know, right?
I still think we should tell Mom.
Lisa, your mother is a wonderful person, but she would never believe us. Trust me, I'm right about this. Oh, what's that smell?
Hot dogs?
Maybe it's coming from the cafeteria?
No way. It's coming from... it.
Okay. UFO, we'll see you around. We'll be back to see you soon. We should go. Do you realize, Lisa, that we know a secret that nobody else in the whole world knows?
Like Walt said, it does change things. Just knowing others are out there makes me worry less and wonder more. There really are beautiful mysteries all around us.
And you learned this valuable life lesson by spending quality time with your dear old dad. Darn it! Those airplane wings are so low.
You've been listening to Tales of Tucson. Episodes are inspired by the legends, mysteries, and history of the Sonoran Southwest and take place in real locations around southern Arizona. Tales of Tucson blends the real and the fictional by using both local actors and real people who play themselves. Air and Space featured the voices of John Vornholt, Ella Bracale, Vince Flynn, Sidney Flynn, and Michael LeClaire. It also featured Pima Air and Space tour guide Marsha Qualick. Actor Vince Flynn plays a Korean War veteran. In real life, Flynn served in the U.S. Navy during the Korean War.
Well, that's right. I was stationed in Bainbridge, Maryland. I was teaching there at the Quartermaster School almost during the whole period during the war. Believe it or not, I never saw a ship.
Or a spaceship?
Or a spaceship, no, neither. But I got to wear my uniform. That made me proud.
Tales of Tucson is co-written and co-produced by Laura Markowitz and John Vornholt. To hear more Tales of Tucson, visit kxci.org. Thanks for listening.